Well, we'll get you equipped. How's that? What do we need for that? So it is today the 22nd? You guys help me. Or 23rd? January 23rd, 2019. Lesson number 306 called The Line of Effort in the Stomach and the Chest. So, you know, whenever I see these unique titles, that's intriguing in itself. I wanted to pair with last week's lesson, right, where we really worked with the shoulder blades and the upper back and getting some nice clarification. This clarification, today's lesson, is going to take you deeper, so to speak, like inside. So we're going to work from also like thinking shoulder blades, spine, but on the front side, so as you're lying there right now, on the front side of you is your clavicles, right? So go ahead and lie on your back. So the clavicles, and yeah, if you want to reach and touch, a lot of people don't know what the clavicles are. Another term or word for them is collarbone, right? I guess that came from when we designed shirts and they sit right there. So, and go ahead and feel them. So you got two collarbones, right? And they're really important. They connect, if you follow them, to the front. They connect to what's called your sternum. And your sternum travels from, bless you, from your clavicles. Your sternum travels down your front side, connecting your ribs to the front side of you. So your sternum, many of you might not know, is cartilage. And we have different kinds of thicknesses of cartilage, right? Like, so our nose is not quite as thick cartilage as our sternum. But there's a reason that the sternum is cartilage and not bone. Can you guys think of why we would have cartilage there? So we can move, right? Absolutely. So the top two bones are the clavicles, and then if you follow the clavicles up to your shoulders, they connect to your shoulder blade. And this is why this lesson pairs well with what we did last week. So a lot of you are thinking, huh? Yeah, so that shoulder blade that's on the back side, the tip of it comes up and attaches to where the top of your clavicle is there. Okay, they connect. So that means there's a relationship. So if you move one, something's going to happen with the other, right? Okay, so hopefully that some landmarks there have gotten you involved. How are you doing, Corrine, with all that? Are you doing okay? Okay. So you're going to continue on your back. Have your legs slightly spread and your arms down by your sides. There you go. And I'd like the back of your hands on the floor. So your palms are up, where the palms are facing the ceiling. And now you're going to imagine, so yeah, your arms are a little bit spread away from you, just a little bit, yeah. So you're going to imagine in your right palm, so we're going to start with the right hand, you've got a metal ball. And the reason I'm using metal over like a tennis ball is the weight of it. Now, in saying that, I threw in a tennis ball because that weighs lighter. This metal ball is the same size as a tennis ball. If the metal ball feels too heavy as we begin the lesson, you may switch to it being a tennis ball. Okay? So it's sitting in your right hand. And you're going to start to move this ball so that it starts to travel up your forearm to your right elbow, and then it's going to come back to your right hand. But here's the thing. So it's real tricky here. You can't move too fast, and your movements need to be very slow and precise because the ball needs to stay right along the center of your forearm. That's why this lesson is called the line of effort. So the effort in this lesson is maintaining that the ball doesn't roll off the sides, right? So if you go too fast, right, the ball can roll. So you need to keep control of the ball, and it's called the line of effort, that it travels from your palm down through your forearm to your right elbow, which has a little crook in it, right? Where you can stop the ball, and then, so to speak, if you lower the back of the hand back down, right, the ball is going to roll back to the palm. So these are very controlled, precise, thinking, thought, mindfulness movements. So it takes participation with your mind and thought and focus. So again, the ball is to be metal and heavy, but if for some reason it's too heavy, I've offered you, and that's up to you, you don't have to share it with me, you can switch to a tennis ball. And now you're going to continue this line of effort. So now you're going to go past the elbow, and you're going to go up to that area that you just explored and touched, where the clavicle is. So in some sense, it's like you, it's almost like a dimple right underneath the clavicle. You have this like little spot that's just perfect for the size of a tennis ball or this metal ball to sit. So it's out by the shoulder area, and the ball can just kind of sink in there. It's like a groove to sit. So once it gets there, now you have to think about how to get it out of the groove to go back down your arm. And now some of you are raising your arm really high away from the floor, so it's very minimal. I'm going to tell you no more than like 2 inches. So you don't need to lift your arm that much. So really think, when your arm is flat, just like the floor, nothing's happening. And it's the slightest movement that the ball starts to move, right? Because it's heavy and it's metal, so slippery. So these are really minimal movements. So I'm going to say no more than 2 inches. Does everybody know what 2 inches is? No more. And then it gets up into that pocket by the shoulder blade. And so what are you going to do there to roll the ball back down to your palm? So your palm's got to be on the floor to receive the ball. So you have to do something up in the shoulder blade area. And the elbow's got to be on the floor and the palm to receive the metal ball back. So another way of thinking of your arm from your hand to the shoulder, right, is like a teeter-totter, right? One end is up and the other end is down, but minimally. So continue going from this little pocket up there of the shoulder down to the hand. And now the next thing is to check in with your breath and breathing. Make sure you're breathing. And again, try to remember, since the ball is heavy and smooth, it rolls easily. So very, very, so some of you are still doing big bends. So there's very little bend that goes on through the elbow, right? Very little. Minimal. 90% of the time your arm stays long. Right? So again, thinking about that the ball is heavy and metal and it rolls easily. So it doesn't take a lot to get it to roll. Much better. And then it goes up to that little pocket where the shoulder blade, right under the clavicle, and it just sits there, right? And then what do you do to have that area push forward to release the ball back down, right? So do you understand that in some sense, right, the floor, you can't move your forearm and your upper arm anymore away from the floor, right? So what do you have to do with the shoulder blade to get that ball to roll back down the arm? Right? So you lift it away from the floor, don't you? It goes up towards the ceiling to promote the ball to roll back down. And now, how can you find a little more ease? Can you think of the ball always rolling downhill? Right? So that means if it's approaching the shoulder and that's the direction of down, the hand and the elbow have to be a little higher, right? And then once it gets to the shoulder has to become a little higher to roll it down towards the elbow and the hand. That's it. And again, make it a little bit more minimal. As soon as I said that, lots of lifting got involved again. Okay, let it go. Rest. And just observe what you're sensing. Draw your attention now to compare the right arm, the right shoulder to the left. What new sensations do you feel on the right side? And now bring your metal ball over to the left hand. Right, so you're going to do the same thing. Again, it can be the metal ball. If you need to switch to a tennis ball, if that keeps you from doing too much lifting, that's fine. So the idea is that the ball is always traveling downhill. That means there's a slight, the slightest. So still some of you are lifting way too much. So I'm going to restrict you. It's no more than an inch, right? So it's just think of like sliding your phone under the back of your hand. That's all you need for the ball to roll. You don't need to lift the arm up high, right? It's physics. It's the smallest amount of lift that promotes the roll. And then your job is to keep the ball rolling right along the center of the forearm, into the crook of the elbow, and then from the crook of the elbow up to the shoulder. So another way of thinking of that area is for the elbow to slightly lift, the shoulder has to press down into the floor. It sinks lower, right? The ball is traveling down. So what do you do with your body, yourself, to promote the direction of down? right? So that means the back of your left shoulder presses more on the floor. And then once the ball reaches that little pocket under the clavicle, the shoulder blade lifts up once again to promote rolling down back to the elbow, back to the hand. And most of this lesson, right, is in your thought. The more that you utilize your thought, the softer you can make the movements. They're very minimal. And so you just continue at your own pace, which you guys are doing a great job with, allowing your ball to roll from the pocket underneath the left clavicle back down to the left hand. And breathing. That's it. So as you continue to allow this ball to roll down each direction, right, you're reorganizing your skeletal system, right, your arm inside to create down, to allow your ball to roll. Which direction do you prefer? Is there one direction that there's a little bit more ease? Right? So just become aware of that. Okay, pause for a moment. Let it go and rest. And notice how you're resting. So each time we pause, see if you allow yourself to find more comfort on the floor. If you're straining really hard with this lesson, then you're going to tense. So become aware of that, to let go of any tension. Or another word for that is parasitic effort. Effort that's not required to be there. So now you've got both arms kind of out to the sides. And if you'd like to bring them straight out to the side, that might be a little easier, a little different trajectory. Because now we're going to roll the ball. Let's keep it in your left hand right now. We're going to go from your left hand, left elbow, the little pocket up by the clavicle and shoulder blade, across the chest to the right side. Okay, so remember, the ball only rolls downhill. So that means wherever the starting point is, which is the left hand now, right, that place has to slightly lift so that the wrist and the elbow are lower, right? And then you're going to go across the chest over to the right hand arm and then the right hand, and then you pause for a moment. So when your ball eventually gets to the right hand, just pause, right? There's no hurry, and just think about what you're going to do. Think about how you're going to create the downhill slope from the right hand to the left before you start it. And then once you have your ball get over to the left hand, you'll do the same thing. You pause for a moment. Right? So again, it's this idea of like a teeter-totter, right? So your two arms extended out to the sides, Your two hands are like the places where people sit for the teeter-totter. Right? So one point end point is down and another one slightly up. Only one end can be down. Right? Start to think of your arms and going through your chest like almost like the board, right? It's a straight line. Right? And the ball always rolls downhill. That's it. Really nice. How can you make it a little softer, a little easier? Not faster. The ball goes slowly. But you're looking for greater ease. Beautiful. Really nice. Okay. And then just let that all go. So now you're going to roll over onto your stomach. And you're going to put your left ear on the floor, which means your face is turned to the right. And your arms are out to the side. The palms are down. So yeah, make sure you're not bumping into a neighbor. Legs are slightly spread a little bit, allowing the top of your feet to open up. So again, your left ear is down. You're on your stomach. Left ear. Left ear. Stomach. So some of you check out left ear to right ear. Some of you don't have it right. So your face is turned to the right. Which way is the right? There we go. It's okay. We all get confused from our right and left. Okay. So now we've got our metal ball. And it's on the back of your right hand. And it's going to start to roll along the forearm to the elbow, up to the shoulder, and now the pocket it can rest is a little bit behind the shoulder blade and where the spine is, right? There's a little like section there, right? And then it gets there and then you reverse it and it's going to come back down the right arm. So just the right arm. We're not going across yourself yet, just the right arm. So again, always thinking of the ball is rolling downhill. Right? It's got to roll down and you catch it in that section right behind the shoulder blade, the area between the shoulder blade and spine. And then that area's got to lift. You got to lift and lift something on the left side to roll the ball back down the right arm. So again, feel what you do. How do you organize yourself to roll this ball downhill? What do you do with your spine? That's it. Now you're going to continue with this right arm. Just turn your head. So now you have the right ear down. That might make it a little easier for the ball to roll back to the right hand. But how does the turning of your head affect what you do? So remember, the ball is always rolling downhill. So when it gets towards your spine, you have to do something on the left side with the left shoulder blade in your spine to roll it back over to the right hand. And you're breathing. Your jaw is relaxed. Your eyes are relaxed. Excellent. And let's pause with your right arm, keeping your face the direction it is. You're going to have the ball come all the way over now to rest on the top of your left hand. Right, and you're going to promote the ball to roll downhill. So that means the left back of the hand has to come up a little bit to get to the elbow, to get up to the shoulder blade, into that groove behind the shoulder blade where the spine is. And then the right shoulder blade and chest lifts to roll the ball back down towards the left forearm. And it's rolling slowly, gently, right? It's controlled and in a line so that it does not fall off your upper arm or your forearm. Especially noticing what you do in that upper back area. And as you're creating that movement to roll the ball, how do you feel it on your front side? What do you do to generate the rolling of this ball downhill? And then turn your face to the right, and you're going to continue with the left arm, eventually rolling it across to your right arm, right? So now the ball is going to eventually roll from the back of your left hand across your back to the right hand. You catch it with your fingertips and then reverse it back, and we're going to keep your face turned to the right. Right, so you got to catch the ball with the fingertips, pausing for a moment before you reverse the movement. The ball then goes along the forearm, the upper arm, into the back. And there's more of a, some of you are really getting it now. It's kind of like a, I'm going to use the word wiggle. You're doing really good. A wiggly kind of movement that goes on. So probably it was not a great use of my language saying like with the teeter-totter like a board. So you can't be stiff through your upper back, right? I don't want you to be totally stiff like a board. So I want you to feel the grooves, right? And how you get that ball to move through the different sections. What'd you say?
It's like doing the worm.
It's like doing a worm, right? Remember when I said that last week? Part of the lesson was a wormy. We're just getting going with the worm. Right? So part of this wormy kind of movement is because you've got to allow the ball to roll. It's downhill. Okay, turn your head to the left and see if that makes any difference. You're still continuing your metal ball rolling from the back of one hand to the other. Nice, Dana, that's nice. Beautiful, CJ, it's just exquisite. Some of you are finding this unique way of moving. You know what it reminds me of? Is, you know those guys that do that kind of dancing? What is it called anyways?
Breakdance.
What is it called?
Breakdance.
Hold it, wait, not breakdancing, but what is it?
Pop and lock.
Pop?
Pop and lock, where they pop.
Pop and lock, huh? God, where have I been? Okay, that's how some of you are, right? Now you're getting what they learned to do, right? This is kind of what they do, right? Yeah, but breakdancing is in there too, right? That was like the earlier form. So Lynn and Kareem, you guys are my airplanes. I want you to move away from being an airplane. So I want you to think that you're gonna be a breakdancer. I know, that was out of your time, right? Just, right? So it's like this wormy, think wormy. That's it, Kareem, wormy. Much better. So try to be more of a worm, and then we'll give it a rest in a minute. Okay, let's have you roll back over onto your back and rest and see what's presented itself. Michael's thinking, what in the world did he get himself into? Probably one of the hardest classes he's ever come to. It's hard. It's hard, this level of thought. And finding ways to move parts of yourself that you haven't moved in those ways before. Okay, so before we continue on, just take a minute to see, how's this upper back feeling? Those shoulder blades, your clavicles, what is your breath and breathing like? Your throat. So you're going to bring your legs together, ankles, knees, and can you find a way to not, that doesn't mean bend them. They're straight, but they're together. Can you find a way? So when I say a direction like this, bring your legs together, can you find a way to do it without so much tension? Now your legs have to stay touching. Maybe that's the word. Your legs are touching, but do you need to grit your jaw and clench your thighs? Right, these are some of the questions to start asking yourself. Is that a requirement for the legs to be together? Right, so look for the minimal amount of effort to have your legs together. Your ball is now down at your feet, on top of your feet. And you're going to roll your ball downhill to your knees and then back to your feet. Let's just start with that. So how do you go from your feet to your knees? It's easy to go from the knees to the feet, right? If you bend the knees a little bit, that promotes the ball rolling back to your ankles. And then you might have to just so subtly lift your feet a little bit to get the ball to go to your knees. But you need to keep the legs together so the ball doesn't roll in between, right? It doesn't, it stays right in that center groove. It's like a canal. That's it, Nia. Beautiful. Now, as you find the rhythm with this, remember the ball is always rolling down, your metal ball. It's going to pass the knees. So how do you get it to pass the knees to go up to your pubic area and then up to your belly button? So that's your next little groove, right? So again, it's a wormy-like movement that you do, and even the upper back and body's involved, right? So that you can, for a moment, house the ball where your belly is. And then what do you need to do to lift that area high enough so that the ball rolls back down in the direction of the knees and back to the feet. Right, so we first did a wormy movement across left and right, and now we're doing a wormy movement up and down. Right, but you have to do quite a bit in your upper mid-back to generate that ball to get off the belly button and roll back down. And then once back at your ankles, how do you get the ball to start coming up to the knees, up to the pubic area, to your belly button? And now could we add on a little bit more of going from the belly button up to the area where you discovered earlier the two clavicles come? So it doesn't go to your throat, so you might even have to slightly lift your head a little bit, right, to get it to roll back down. But it's going to stop right where those two clavicles meet. So it goes all the way up your sternum, and then you stop it there, and then it starts to roll back to the belly button, and then from the belly button through the pubic area, down to the knees, down to the ankles. Very slow, very controlled. You're following this line of effort, always reminding yourself that the metal ball is rolling downhill. So you have to elevate parts of you to generate that. And how are you orchestrating that for yourself? And as you continue doing this, how can you make it a little softer? So, you know, once a movement becomes familiar, then we look for a level of ease, right? How can it become a little softer? A little more fluid, flowing. So your breath and your breathing are with ease. And then noticing, are there any places along the roll, right, that you work harder, that you tense more, that somehow it feels a challenging section? How can you find ease in that section? Soften it. Is there really that much effort required to roll this ball? Remember, it's a metal ball. So it's slick and it's round. They move quickly. Any ball rolls quickly, right? So that's why we're using a ball, because there's very little effort needed, very little change in height to create the downhill for the rolling to occur. Nice. Okay, let's pause and let it go. Just pause and rest. Notice what you're sensing and feeling, where your mind wants to go to. Okay, and like one last time, let's bring your arms out to the sides and your palms are up. Let's bring the ball back over to your right palm. And we're going to have it travel along your right arm to the right elbow, up to that little pocket underneath the clavicle, across to your sternum where the two clavicles meet, eventually over to the left side, eventually to the left hand. And just noticing now, after we added in the other directions and being on your stomach, how this has become softer, smoother, right? The line of effort is more minimal, and how easily this ball rolls and wiggles, right? You wiggle, creating this path from the right palm over to the left palm, just so subtly, so softly. And in the background, you're witnessing and noticing the skeletal movement that's going on inside you, right? To make these kind of wiggly movements, there's an extraordinary amount of shift with the skeleton. What did you call it? Breaking? Pop and lock. I always wondered what that was called. So you guys are becoming pop and lock experts. How to learn to do pop and lock. Right? So that's kind of what, and it's real foreign for some of us, right? This way of generating movement with one part of you to, again, the ball is always rolling downhill, to roll the ball to another section of you. And just continuing a little bit longer, could you find a little more fun with it? So as I suggest that, does that create some more ease, right? When something is hard, sometimes it's not so fun, and then it feels strain. How could this be more playful? Beautiful. So nice. That was the word. Playful. Okay, and let that go. And then I just want to give you another opportunity here for you to choose. Either you can continue for another minute going from arm to arm, or you can bring your ball back to your legs and up underneath where the clavicles are. And if you feel complete, that's okay too. But if you would like a little more time, you have another minute or two here to explore where you'd like the quality of rolling your metal ball to be more playful, to be softer, more fluid. And what does the word playful mean to you anyway? It generated for the group a sense of ease and softness. I think when we're having moments of playfulness, things soften. How can it be more playful for you? And then when you feel complete with it, you bring yourself to pausing and resting. And noticing what this lesson generated for you. What has changed? What opened up for you today? How do you experience your upper back, your chest, your legs, your breath, and your breathing? Slowly and gently roll your head to the left and right to observe and sense how that feels. Okay, and then taking your time, you'll roll to a side, come to sitting, and then come to standing to observe how you feel in standing from this lesson.